Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Not joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. But seriously, everybody listening to this show, go tweet Jamie if you're on Twitter, if you're on social media at all. It's her wedding this weekend. She has an excuse for not being here. She's one day away from wedded bliss this upcoming Saturday, tomorrow. So go wish Jamie a happy, beautiful wedding day tomorrow. Hopefully we'll see her back next week. Although I don't even know when the honeymoon is. Jamie's out in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm here in Wisconsin. We don't talk as much as we should. But congratulations, Jamie Jors, on getting married this upcoming weekend. As for us, we got to talk some football. The show goes on here at Railbird Central. Today, Friday, is the last day of the off-season program in Green Bay. The last day of organized team activities. Kind of weird, actually. The OTAs this week lasted 4 days long, Tuesday through Friday. Not exactly sure why they lasted 4 days this week when every other week of OTAs lasted only 3 days. Never really explained why that happened. Regardless, it's the last day of OTAs in Green Bay. The off-season program comes to a close. Players will be leaving this evening, this weekend. They'll be taking off for vacation, taking off for their hometowns. They are not required to be back in Green Bay until the start of training camp in late July. Now, certainly, lots of them will come back to Green Bay. Lots of them will spend the next month plus at team facilities, working out, lifting weights, those kind of things. Lots and lots of them will do that. But lots of them will also take vacation during that time. This is the time for both players and coaches to get one little last vacation in, a little bit of time off, a little bit of R&R before the grind begins. So that's kind of what's going on. But one last day of practice today. It's going to be held behind closed doors, not open to the public, not open to the media. So not going to know what goes on. We don't know if Desmond Bishop's there or not. In fact, nothing different since our last show here on Railbird Central. Nothing had been heard on the Desmond Bishop front since it's been reported the Packers will part ways with Bishop. Although nothing has happened, nothing is official. They haven't cut him. They haven't released him. They haven't traded him. Nothing has happened. Nothing's different. We just no clue. We don't practice hasn't been open to the public. Bishop hasn't talked to the media. Don't really know what's going on, but kind of interesting that news came out and nothing has been acted upon yet. Maybe the Packers are still trying to trade him. Maybe they're trying to work out a restructured deal. I don't really know. Until Desmond Bishop or his representative say something, we have really no clue. That was kind of the talk of the week here in Green Bay. A lot about Desmond Bishop. Without practice being open to the public, the media, not a whole lot going on there. You know, talk of the day yesterday, I think, was Brett Favre's interview on Sirius XM Radio. Once again, extending another olive branch, kind of saying nice words about, Aaron Rodgers. But still saying, as far as the jersey retirement or number retirement, you know, he's not in a rush or something along those lines. So people talking about that. And I got to tell you, I'm getting a little sick already of Brett Favre number retirement talk. Just for the simple fact that, it's only begun. And, you know, it's not going to happen this season. It's not going to happen 2013. You know, it's already too close. The season is, they need more time to publicize this event if and when it does happen. Well, not if, when. My prediction is that'll happen in 2014. But the thing is, you know, every single interview Brett Favre does between now and 2014, you know, he's going to be asked about this number retirement and coming back to Green Bay, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it makes news every time he talks, which is just kind of, you know, it was interesting to hear Brett Favre, you know, talk about his number retired, you know, kind of as he started to warm up this offseason, you know, kind of started back when him and Aaron Rodgers presented that award together at the Super Bowl or the night before the Super Bowl. And that was interesting to see and interesting to talk about then. But now every interview he does, you know, it happened on last week on a local radio show in Buffalo, New York. It happened this week on Sirius XM Radio. You know, every time he talks, it's news, and it's just kind of getting sickening a little bit because it's just rehashing the same stuff. I mean, he every time he does seem a little bit more, willing to take blame. You know, these kind of things are coming from him, but to continue to see from them with every interview, I just know I'm going to get sick here over the course of the next year until this number retirement actually happens. So for that sake, get it done with so I doesn't have to make news every single time he talks. But, you know, today here on the last day of the offseason in Green Bay, I thought I'd go briefly through every position on the Packers roster and kind of go through what we've learned in the offseason over the course of the last month plus, the last 6 weeks or so, pretty much since the offseason program began, pretty much post-draft time. What have we learned about each position on the roster? And in some cases, you know, we haven't learned a whole heck of a lot. You know, it's the off season. As Mike McCarthy is quick to point out, it's a time for teaching. You can't really put a whole lot of stock into, you know, who's starting, who's with the first string, who's making a move up the depth chart. That's not the point of the off season. They just want every player on the roster to get better, and teach them fundamentals, and getting them to learn the offense. But still, there were some small things learned, and in some cases a little bit bigger things, and you know, just kind of want to recap the offseason program in general, being on its last day. So kind of go position by position here and talk about the Packers roster and talk about some of the players. So, you know, starting on offense, starting with the quarterbacks. You know, what have we learned? Now, we haven't learned a whole lot more about Aaron Rodgers than we know already, so not going to spend a whole lot of time there. He's one of the best in the NFL. He's great. We all love him. He's, you know, do we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers and what we've learned? I don't think we've learned anything more other than he wants to see here Brett Favre's number retired as well. We learned that about Aaron Rodgers, and that's about the biggest thing from him. But really, you know, as far as the quarterback position is concerned, you know, the biggest thing is the backups, Graham Harrell and B.J. Coleman. And I think you started to see just this past week B.J. Coleman make a little dent in the depth chart at the quarterback position because he started to be used, according to reports, with the second string offense in drills in OTAs this week. And you know, that's a job that Graham Harrell has previously held last year. And you know, last year, B.J. Coleman was strictly the number three. He never made any real significant you know, run at that job last season. He was on the practice squad. He wasn't even on the 53-man roster. When he received playing time in the preseason, it was basically mop-up time or, you know, the end of the game, didn't even play a whole lot. So B.J. Coleman's starting to make some strides, and no doubt about it. I mean, the every word coming from the Packers organization is that Graham Harrell is doing well too. So, but that's going to really shape up to be a very good, you know, competition in training camp. You know, come late July, come August, those guys will be duking it out. And I've already said I predict B.J. Coleman to come away with the number two job this year, but, you know, I'm not making any my mind can change based upon what happens in training camp. I mean, I'm not sticking to that gung-ho here. It's just my initial prediction right here, you know, in the month of June. So certainly plenty can transpire to change my mind between now and then. Let's go to the running backs. What have we learned? Mike McCarthy just made comments this week, very bold comments about the Packers running game. He says, "We'll be better. I can promise you that. Write it down, big letters." And I did in an article here at Cheesehead TV. I obliged with Mike McCarthy's request to, put it down in big letters. We'll be better. You know, the question is, what, you know, who will be carrying the football for the Packers? And, you know, I think the one big thing that happened at the running back position this offseason is we learned DeJuan Harris had a cyst removed from his lungs. Apparently everything's good there. There's no danger. There's nothing really wrong with him or anything. But he did miss the entire offseason program. So kind of wondering what's going to happen with DeJuan Harris at the running back position. But he'll definitely be sharing time, be sharing carries with the rookies the Packers took in the NFL draft this year. Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, you know, those guys, no doubt about it, are going to be a big part of the Packers running game. And you know, nobody's handing him the job yet. In fact, throughout this offseason, it's been all about James Starks, been all about Alex Green working with the starters. But, you know, again, that's just because they're the default veterans on the team. They're the ones who are experienced. It's all about learning. There's really no big, nothing really to read into there as far as them working with the first string. Come training camp, that'll be the time when Lacy and Franklin make their push and try to get some playing time. You know, I don't know if it's going to be week one season opener against the San Francisco 49ers that Eddie Lacy is your starter. But, you know, I think shortly into the season, he's going to be the man. He's going to be starting. He's going to be taking the majority of the carries. Just kind of a matter of when, I think. You know, maybe it doesn't happen right away, week one. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. But, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for rookies to get acclimated and learn the offense. Because, you know, they got to be trusted out there. You know, they're not going to put Lacy and Franklin out there if they don't trust them. Whether, you know, they got to be assignment sure, they got to be going to the right places on the field. Not only that, they got to be trusted to protect Aaron Rodgers when it comes to passing. They got to be trusted, you know, catching the football. They're not going to drop it. So a lot those guys have to prove. But yeah, the one big thing we learned, DeJuan Harris has the cyst on his lung, but everything appears to be A-okay there, and he'll join them in training camp. At least that's the word from Mike McCarthy. What did we learn about the wide receivers during the offseason? We've learned that the two wide receivers the Packers took in the NFL draft didn't even participate in the offseason program. Charles Johnson and Kevin Dorsey. You know, that it's certainly, you know, higher up the depth chart we didn't learn a whole lot about Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb. We didn't already know. I mean, those guys are set to be the top three receiving options on the Packers roster. We knew that coming in, and nothing's changed. There's been a lot of talk about Randall Cobb and kind of being an up and coming and an emerging player in the NFL. But, you know, as far as jobs being up for grabs, it was kind of disappointing that these guys really didn't take part in the offseason program. They actually did take part in rookie orientation camp right after being drafted, but something must have happened during rookie orientation camp. They must have gotten injured during that time period, or I don't know. Nobody has said anything about their injuries. They haven't talked to the media about what's going on. So kind of interesting there. Actually, Charles Johnson did practice one day and then pulled out again. So didn't see a whole. He took part in practice very, very briefly, but kind of disappointing because those guys, you know, are fighting for the fourth, fifth wide receiver spots on the roster. You know, I would say Jarrett Boykin kind of has a little bit of an inside track there, of course, just being a, you know, 1 year veteran, and even Jeremy Ross, who was with the team late last year, you know, he was getting up the reps when the rookies were not. So, you know, as long as these rookies are out there during training camp, they're healthy, they're ready to go by then, it's not going to be a big deal. But, you know, certainly wasn't good that they missed a whole lot of practice time and reps during the offseason program. Not going to help them any, that's for sure. So kind of the depth there at wide receiver, little bit of a concern just because these guys, for whatever reason, are kind of injured. And you saw the Packers even sign like multiple undrafted wide receivers kind of throughout the offseason here, you know, even after the draft was over. They just signed the new guy this week, Terrell Sinkfield, the guy from Northern Iowa who reportedly ran a 4.1 odd something 40-yard dash, you know, during a workout this offseason. They just signed him this week. They signed that kid from Eastern Michigan, Alex Gillett, the quarterback turned wide receiver. They just signed him a few weeks ago. Been kind of adding depth at wide receiver, perhaps because of these injury concerns. So depth issues there at wide receiver. Tight end. What did we learn about the tight end position? Again, not a whole heck of a lot. There's actually an article at foxsportswisconsin.com today if you want to go check it out on Jermichael Finley and him being a little bit quieter than we're used to. Jermichael Finley being known as an outspoken type of guy his first 4 or 5 years in the NFL, but this offseason when he's talked to the media has given very short answers. He's been his you know, usage on Twitter, which he used to use a lot, has you know, gone down quite a bit. And I think if you really follow Jermichael Finley closely, you kind of understand the reasons why he's been curbing or curtailing his Twitter usage lately. There was kind of an online spat with a citizen out there. You can Google it and find more about it. It's out there, but it just Jermichael Finley's been kind of quiet, and you know, for a guy who's said many foolish things in his time in a Green Bay Packers uniform, that's not necessarily a bad thing. What he says is secondary to what happens on the field. Certainly he has to play and has to play well. You know, he's coming up on a contract year, and whether he gets paid by the Packers or another team in the NFL going to kind of depend upon how his season goes this year. But yeah, I mean, Jermichael Finley, a little bit quieter this off season. So that's where we're at with the tight end position. Then how about the offensive line? What did we learn? Well, we actually learned more about the offensive line than probably any other position on the team, because of the big changes that have taken place. You know, the Brian Bulaga and Josh Sinton switch from the right side to the left side of the offensive line. You know, TJ Lang going from left guard to right guard. And then the battle taking place at right tackle between, you know, at least right now, Marshall Newhouse and Don Barclay. And I'm sure even, you know, David Bakhtiari will be part of that as well. So, you know, from all indications, things are a work in progress. You know, there's nothing to be alarmed about right now. They kind of admit they're learning, they're getting used to it. And, you know, I'm so glad it happened now where they have all this time to practice and become acclimated here in the May-June time frame, as opposed to, making the change during training camp or something like that. There is time right now to get comfortable and all those things. A move designed to kind of, as you can see, kind of designed to improve the protection on Aaron Rodgers, who was sacked an NFL high 51 times last year. You know, you don't want your quarterback taking those kind of hits. So they're practicing a lot with, Brian Bulaga and Josh Sinton on the left side. The whole offensive line kind of reshuffled in general. That'll definitely be interesting to watch, to see how they gel, how they come together, how Brian Bulaga will do over on the left side, how everybody will do at a new position, really. But that's been one of the biggest developments this offseason in Green Bay, what is happening there on the offensive line. You know, going over to the defensive side of the football, what have we learned on the defensive line? Dayton Jones is the new addition there, and the first-round draft choice, kind of you expect him to make the biggest impact of any rookie on the team. The Packers didn't draft him in the first round to sit him. He's expected to play and play a lot and be an impact player. And, you know, we don't know a whole lot from OTAs in which they don't wear pads or anything. But, he's learning the defensive schemes and all that. But, you know, I think the biggest thing we learned from the defensive line is Johnny Jolly's return. That made probably bigger and more headlines than anything else. Johnny Jolly finally, after 3 years away from the NFL, suspended by Commissioner Roger Goodell for violating the league's substance abuse policy, makes his return to practice. And you know, it's probably a whole lot of nothing. You know, I find it that Johnny Jolly is a long shot to make the team, but you never know. He came back and, you know, you asked reporters, I know, were asked that, how's Jolly look? You know, what's he look like at minicamp? What's he look like at OTAs? And the answer was kind of always the same, no matter who you got the answer from. He looks rusty. Looks a little bit out of shape. And, you know, that's to be expected. He came back from 3 years off. But the good news is he came in, was part of the offseason program, kind of got back into the swing of things. And, we'll see in training camp how much he actually has left in the tank, how much he lost from 3 years away from the game. The one good thing is, he didn't take a whole lot of pounding, a whole lot of grinding. You know, he should be a little bit fresh, perhaps, than compared to the other guys on the team. So from that standpoint, it's kind of a good thing. So that's what you got with Johnny Jolly. He's back in the fold. He'll be making his push during training camp. I don't expect him to make the team, but I'm not ruling it out at this point. We'll certainly see what he's got in training camp in the preseason. Maybe he makes a big impression and, wins a spot on the roster, based upon his play when he was with the Packers way back in 2009 and before that had done pretty good job that season in 2009, his best as a professional. So who knows? Who knows? Well, I'm excited to see him in pads. That's all I can say right now. Outside linebackers. What did we learn at the outside linebacker position? We learned that Nick Perry is going to be relied upon a whole lot this season because he's the default starter opposite Clay Matthews. We certainly learned that Clay Matthews received a nice big contract extension this offseason. And, you know, he's the highest paid linebacker in the entire NFL. You know, he's played like it every year of his career so far. He's a guy you don't really have to worry about. I have no reason to think his play's ever going to fall off because he just, you know, from day one in Green Bay, he's played well, and he's played well ever since. And that's a great thing for the Packers that you don't have to worry about that. But you do have to worry about the guy starting opposite him, Nick Perry. You know, he's back. He's practicing. He spent all last season, not all last season, but spent, you know, ended the season on injured reserve with a broken wrist. And he's back, and he's got a brace on his wrist, and he's been taking some plays off during the offseason, things in which, you know, he'd be using his wrist extensively, and they don't want to re-injure it or anything like that. So they kind of been cautious a little bit with Nick Perry this offseason. But, it's certainly great that he's taking part in it after, you know, ending last season on injured reserve. And, you know, you hope with a little bit more time off here, a month and a half before training camp starts, he'll be healthy and he'll be ready to go by then. Inside linebacker, what did we learn? Well, we spent the beginning of the show kind of, you know, talking about Desmond Bishop and how nothing's really changed since it's been reported that, you know, he would be released by the Packers. But, apart from Desmond Bishop, we've spent a lot of time talking about lately, you know, who's going to be playing in his place? Well, the default starters, and, you know, have no reason to think these guys aren't going to start in place of Desmond Bishop, are A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones. And, Brad Jones, I think in particular, is a little bit of an interesting case because he's going through his first off season in which, you know, he is being asked primarily and almost exclusively to be an inside linebacker, and how much room for growth there is with Desmond Bishop because he hasn't practiced full time at inside linebacker before up to now. And now he is. So, you know, there's a lot of room for growth, and you would think he's making big time strides this offseason. You would think he's learning that position even better, working with Winston Moss there at the inside linebacker. And he's a guy who can be a three down backer. He can rush the passer. He can play the run. He can play the pass. He's kind of a guy who was never taken off the field late last season and can kind of be that guy this year. So, you know, he's being counted upon. The Packers signed him as a free agent this offseason. Re-signed him, I should say. And he'll be expected to, you know, hold down the fort there at inside linebacker with Desmond Bishop and even DJ Smith gone, too. You kind of wonder if Terrell Manning might be part of the rotation at inside linebacker this year. He would appear to be a guy on the rise, but we don't really know a whole lot about Terrell Manning yet. But a promising future, at least, for a guy who you think is now hopefully healthy and his health woes are behind him. Cornerback. What did we learn at the cornerback position this year? We learned Sam Shields signed his tender, and after doing something that was kind of tantamount to a holdout, even though he was technically unsigned, he missed the first few weeks of the offseason program, but is now back in Green Bay and is signed and participated in minicamp, although he did leave OTAs this week, in which I speculate that he is simply holding out once again, or is choosing not to participate. Mike McCarthy had said he has some issues to deal with back home, but I think those issues have to do with him not taking part in voluntary workouts this season. So, But he did get back into the fold, and that's a good thing. He is signed. He's under contract. It's only for 1 year, but he's going to have to prove that he's going to be worth a long-term contract extension. But I really do think Sam Shields is could be worth the long-term contract extension. But he just has to continue to play at a high level. There can't be any more regression like there was his second year in the NFL. He's got to continue to remain tough and be a good tackler. If he does all those things, he might see a payday. And I think it might be worth the pay him because I think he's young, he's on the rise, he's a good cover corner, and he's fast. And those are things you can't teach. So that's up with Sam Shields. The safety position, what's new at the safety position? Those guys continue to battle across from Morgan Burnett. Morgan Burnett, of course, the default starter there. But, you know, beyond him, it's coming down to a competition between MD Jennings and Jerron McMillan. And I don't know if, as we've learned a whole lot different about them this offseason than we knew already, but, the competition continues between them. Nobody's really pulled away yet. But, again, that's not going to – the training camp is the time where somebody pulls away, if anything. I see him talking about on the live blog here about Mike Neal and playing outside linebacker. And pardon me for kind of glossing over that. That certainly was a big development this offseason that he is practicing there and is also part of the, you know, group there at outside linebacker. How much they use him at that position kind of remains to be seen. I still don't think Mike Neal's going to be used a whole lot there this year, but definitely a big development this offseason and another thing we learned. So we talked about safety. The only thing left, special teams, and you know, that the one big addition is that they brought competition in compete with Mason Crosby. They signed the left-footed kicker, Giorgio Tavecchio. He's looked good so far, but again, it's just the offseason. You haven't really got a whole big extensive look at him or anything like that. So the competition will commence in earnest. Well, I suppose it's already started in earnest, but it'll get down to the nitty-gritty in training camp, but we'll see how those guys do, see if Crosby can bounce back from a subpar season, and Tim Maste getting work in working with a left-footed kicker as far as being the holder goes. That's kind of the one big adjustment for him this offseason, because nothing should be going wrong with his punting. Shouldn't be worried there. So that's your update on what we've learned at every position on the Packers roster this offseason. Kind of a nutshell, fingernail type of look at each position and what's new and what's going on. And, today we wrap up the offseason. It gets a little bit slow after this, but no doubt about, we'll continue to break down what's going on in the offseason, even during the summer here. We'll be back on Monday, a Monday morning edition of Railbird Central here. So make sure to join us then, 8:30 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Central Time, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jowers and her upcoming wedding this weekend, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.